Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Tanis Daf Gimel. We begin 8 lines from the top. Ella Hadisnan, yesterday we learned that there were actually several sources for the concept of Nisuch HaMayim, pouring of the water on the Mizbeach, on the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Today we're going to explore the timetable. When do we begin Nisuch HaMayim and how long does it last? Says the Gemara, Elo HaDisnan. What about the following Mishnah which says Nisuch HaMayim Kol Zayin? All throughout 7 days of Sukkos we have Nisuch HaMayim. Mani, who's the one speaking in this Mishnah? Which Tana is this? And the Gemara will compare notes with yesterday's Daf where we have several sources, and we're going to hinge the Zman of Nisuch HaMayim and make it parallel to the various sources for Nisuch HaMayim. So one will have an effect on the other. So again, the Mishnah speaks about Nisuch HaMayim throughout all 7 days. Mani, who's speaking? Rabbi Yeshua. Is this Rabbi Yeshua speaking? He's the one that says that Haskoras Geshem begins on Shmini Atzeres after all 7 days of Sukkot, as we learned yesterday. The more figures, for some reason, that it is parallel to Nisuch HaMayim, so the Mayim season, so to speak, begins. We refer to Mayim, we mention Geshem, and we bring the carbon of Mayim as well. And therefore, Neimachad Yoyim, let it be just one day. Let us have Nisuch HaMayim just on that last day when we have the Haskoras HaGeshem. And some actually take out this line because what's the connection between Mashav Aruch and Shmini Atzeres to Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkos? So some leave it in, some take it out. In any case, it doesn't work according to Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, let's explore further. Rabbi Akiva, perhaps the Mishnah which speaks about Nisuch HaMayim 7 days, is Rabbi Akiva speaking? Tre Yoimi, it should be only a 2-day affair because according to him, how do we know Nisuch HaMayim? Because on the 6th day of Sukkos it says Unusachecha, referring to the double pouring of wine and water. The more figures, if the Pasuk is on the 6th day, you begin Nisuch HaMayim on the 6th day as well. So it's day 6 and day 7. How do you get a full 7 days of Nisuch HaMayim? E Rabbi Yehuda ben Nesir, is it that Shita? Well, then it's Shita Yom. We should have 6 days of Nisuch HaMayim because he derives this concept from the Mem, the Yud and the Mem, as we learned yesterday, the first Mem being on day 2. The more figures, that should be the starting point of Nisuch HaMayim from day 2 to day 7 for a total of 6 days. How do you get 7? Loyalan Rabbi Yehuda ben Nesir, you know what? It could be following that Shita. We start on day 2. If so, how do we get to 7 full days? He extends it into the 8th day as well, into Shmini Atzeres. Svilik Rabbi Yehuda de Masnis, and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the following Mishnah, the Snan Rabbi Do'imer. Number 1, Belug HaYuv Nasach. Instead of 3 Lugin, you would only use a 1 Lug pitcher. Number 2, Kol Shmoyne would take place for all 8 days, including Shmini Atzeres. Umapik Rishon, now Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira by us, will deduct the 1st day of Sukkot, because he begins Nisach on the 2nd day. How do you get to 7? Umayil Shmin. Instead, he'll substitute it with the 8th day. So in a way, he'll follow Rabbi Yehuda's Shita that Nisuch HaMayim goes into the 8th day, but he only ends up with 7 because he deducted the 1st day. It was from 2 to 8. Asks the Gemara, how does that work? Umayishna Rishon Deloy. What's wrong with the 1st day of Sukkos? Dechirimizi Mayim. B'sheni Yidurimizi. Because the remez of Mayim starts on day 2. So that's the starting point. Shmini Nami. Well, how could you include the 8th day of Sukkot? Ki remizi mayim b'shvi'i. Hu d'remizi. The remez of mayim is mem yud mem. Mem is on day 2, yud is on day 6, last mem on day 7. That's the end of Nisuch HaMayim. How could you push it into the 8th day as well? So this won't work. El Rabbi Yeshua, let's go back to the original option. This Tana speaks about Nisuch HaMayim taking place. Kol Zayin is Rabbi Yeshua speaking. Where's he coming from? Why all 7? V'nisuch HaMayim kol shiva, hilchas ha-gmirila. We have another source, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And it's meant to extend itself for all 8 days of Sukkos. D'om Rab Ami, Om Rab Yechon, Mishum Rab Nechunya, Ish Bikaz Beis Chorosan. The following 3 things I learned by way of halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Eser Netiyos, the halacha that you can dig around those young saplings until Shemitah for fear that it might they might get ruined, so there's a special dispensation for Netiyos. Arava, the fact that we bring the Arabis to the Mizbeach on Sukkos, and finally V'nisuch HaMayim, all three are Halacha L'Mashmis Sinai, and the way Rashi explains it, apparently, Halacha L'Mashmis Sinai also taught us Nisuch HaMayim was a seven-day experience. So bottom line is we have several shittos regarding the extent and duration of Nisuch HaMayim. Is it an eight-day experience, seven-day experience, a six-day, or a two-day? Getting back to the Mishnah, where we have Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. Actually, this was the end of the Braisa yesterday. He's quoting Rabbi Yeshua. Ha'ovir l'fnei ha'teva, b'yom teva achron shel chag. How does it work when it comes to Masha v'ruach Merid HaGeshem? What's the starting point? What's the end point? The ha'ovir l'fnei ha'teva, this is Shliach Tzibur, on the last day of Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres. Ha'achron mazkir. So the last one, meaning the Baal Musaf, he will initiate Hazkara of Masha Ruach Merid HaGeshem. Harishin in Yomaski, whereas the Baal Shachris will not yet mention Geshem. So the starting point of Hazkaras Geshem is on the latter part of Shmini Atzeres. B'yoyim to Harishin Shal Pesach. What about the stopping point for mentioning Geshem? So it's the other way around. When it comes to day one of Pesach, Harishin Masker, the Baal Shachris will still keep it, still mention it. Ha'achron in Masker, but the Baal Musaf will omit it. So the starting point is Musaf of Shmini Atzeres, and it extends all the way till Shachris and including Shachris of day one of Pesach. We discussed the reason for this halacha based on the Tosfos and the Yerushalmi. We want it to be a public scene. We want it to be a public stable when everybody's present. Everybody should stop and start at once. The problem is Rabbi Yehuda is quoting Rabbi Yeshua. Which Rabbi Yeshua is he quoting? Who would hold that you split a day into two? Hi, Rabbi Yeshua. Which one? Ilim Rabbi Yeshua de Masnissen. Is it going back to our Mishnah? Well, we mentioned Shitas Rabbi Yeshua. Well, it doesn't work. He said very simply, you start Haskaras Geshem, last day of Sukkos, in the morning. You start Haskar. Don't wait till Musaf. That doesn't work. El Rabbi Yeshua the Brice. What about Rabbi Yeshua the Brice that we had yesterday? That's also problematic. Amar Meshas HaNochasa, he says you begin mentioning Geshem once you put down that lulav. It sounds like you start right away. Arvis of Shmini Atzeres. Don't wait till Musaf. Visu, another kasha we have. Here we have Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Yeshua. Then we have another Brice. Same halacha, under another name. Vesu, another kasha. Hada Sanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Mishum, Ben Beseira. Here he's quoting Ben Beseira, who we presume is a different person, who says the same thing. Ha'oiver of Ne'ateva, B'yom Tev Achron Shel Chag, the Shliach Tzibur on the last day of Sukkos, Ha'achron Mask, the second fellow will mention Geshem, the Baal Musaf, and not the Baal Shachris. So he quoted Ben Beseira. Hi Ben Beseira, which Ben Beseira is this? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. We know of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Is that who he had in mind? It certainly doesn't work. Ha'amar b'sheni b'chagu masker. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira really told us. You start Haskaras Geshem on the second day of Sukkot, not the eighth. So we have several kashas here. Starting point was Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Yeshua that we split the last day of Sukkot into two. Baal Shachris doesn't mention, Baal Musaf does. Which Rabbi Yeshua? We have several Yeshuas here in the Mishnah and the Braisa who seem to say otherwise. You start at the beginning of Shmini Atzeres. Next Kasha. Here he's quoting Rabbi Yeshua, and there he's quoting the same halacha in the name of Ben Beseira, who can't be a reader of Ben Beseira, who says you start on day two. Oh, Rachmar Yitzchak, I'll give you a simple solution. Rabbi Yeshua and Ben Beseira are the same person. And it's a new person, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseira. Tehei, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseira. A brand new shita, and he holds we split Shmini Atzeres into two. Zimnin the Kari Lebishmei, at times they refer to him by his own name, Rabbi Yeshua. Zimnin the Kari Lebishmei, and at times he is called the name of his father, Ben Beseira. Why? Before he got Smicha, he wasn't as Chashev, he was just Ben Beseira. After he got Smicha, here in the title of Rabbi Yeshua. So this indeed is another Shita. This is Shita number 5 regarding the timing of Askaras Geshem. It starts Musaf of Shmini Atzeres and ends at Shachris of Pesach. Tana, we learned in a Brice. Although we speak about Askaras Geshem, that's only because Geshem is something seasonal, and you want to evoke Ratzon, appeasement, find favor in Hashem's eyes, and bring about the Geshem Lebracha when you're approaching the rain season. Tana, but we learned in a Brice, when it comes to other things, Betal, Du, Uberuches, and winds, Loichivu, Chachamim, Lahaskar, there's no chiv to make any mention of these things, which are a constant, unceasing phenomena in the Bria. Vimbo, Lahaskar, Mask, if you choose to mention them, go ahead, but there's no chiv, my time away. Omer, Abachanino, Levishain, and Etzuran, they don't stop. And since they're ongoing phenomena, so concept of Ritzui, and Mishabeach, and Brach, doesn't really have the same value. Let's see Rashi. Levish ein netzor, and three lines from the bottom. Shel moli hein ein olam miskayim. The Gemara soon will tell us the world needs these things for its existence. Dew and winds are constant features in the Bria. V'haid amrina betfila. Oh, asks Rashi Akasha. You say wind is not something you have to mention. We do mention it. Mashav ruach merdeg heshem. La mishem chiv. Firstly, says Rashi, you're right, it's not a chiv to mention ruach. El chayk geshem u'masker. It's just on account of the rain. Because we're going to learn soon that the winds actually help assist the rain process. It spreads around, it dries up the land, helps it absorb the rain. So it's a feature within the rain cycle. So mentioning mashav ruach with geshem is not on account of the wind itself, rather on account of how it helps the rain process. The tal v'ruchos ma'ilos la'aret l'sakno l'ragva, to clean it up, to absorb the rain. Kiv de besamach zika de baser mitra. The Gemara will tell us the wind after a rain is very beneficial k'mitra, like the rain itself. So you're not mentioning wind as per wind, rather wind as per how it helps and benefits the rain system. Continues the Gemara. Let's prove our point. We speak about tal and ruach as constants. V'tal menolam de lo mi'atza. How do we know that dew is constant? Chsev ayomer eliyahu atishpi. V'teshav egilad el achav. This is when Hashem sent Eliyahu Novi to Achav to warn him, threaten him. Because of your averus, I'm going to stop all rains. He says, Chai Hashem el kei Yisrael, swearing in the name of Hashem, Asher mati lefanam, im yiyah Hashem me'ila tal or matar. Ki'im lefi dvorei. You're not going to see tal or matar unless I allow it. Uksiv, and then a couple of years later, after the terrible drought, Hashem sends him again. He says, Lech, Herol, Achav, go present yourself to Achav. Ve'etna matap ne'adam. I'm going to restore the rain. Vilu talak amalei. He didn't mention anything about restoring dew, my time away. Meshum deloi yemiyasa, because it never stopped. There's no point of restoring if it never left. Apparently, tal is a constant feature. Oh, well, if you tell me it's always going to be there, why then did he have to threaten him with rain and dew? If in any case, the dew will always be there. What's the point of making a shvo on tal and matar? He meant to tell him there are two types of dew. There's your standard dew which sustains the world, which is critical, but there is that dew which is libracha, afilu tal, achikamar, afilu tal libracha, divracha, namalei asa. You know what? Not only won't you have rain, you won't even have that beneficial dew, Rashi says, sheyatzmiach shum tzemach, which evokes growth. So there are two types of tal. There is a standard tal which is critical to the sustenance of the world, but then there's that additional tal debracha, which brings about growth, and that you're not going to have. Even that you're not going to have, namely osi, in addition to lack of rain. Well, v'lahadu l'tal of bracha, when you haven't really answered your question, then when he restores things, he should say, the tal, the bracha will come back. Meman of shech. You tell me tal is constant, then why mention tal in your threat? Oh, so you tell me, well, there's some tal which is the bracha, and that's going to be removed. Well, then he has to tell him he's going to restore that together with the rain. Mishum deloy minker mil, so you're right. But had he told him that he's going to restore the rain and that do the bracha, Achav would just tease him. He'll give him room to make a laughing stock out of him. What do you mean? You're going to restore the Tal? I've seen Tal all along, and he won't necessarily recognize or be interested in recognizing the difference. So you don't want to leave him that room for a tzchoik and for a kintur, Rashi says, to tease him. So you just ignored the Tal aspect, but in reality, he did remove the Tal of Bracha as per his threat. Now you'll ask, well, how can he threaten removing Tal de Bracha when it's not something discernible? Well, Acha could always turn around and say, well, you didn't take away the Tal. Same concern applies there. Apparently the answer is, you can threaten, and Hashem can sort of revert on that threat, meaning, Rambam says this, that if a Navi foretells something good will happen, and it doesn't happen, he's apparently a liar, but if he foretells a tragedy and it doesn't happen, it is not necessarily an indication of his authenticity, because it happens. It happens many times that Hashem will be mevatel gzira, so threatening in a bad way and not carrying through on that threat isn't necessarily mocking for zolzol. So sure, it was fair for him to tell him, I'm going to remove the rain and this du lebracha, because that's actually what he planned on doing, and actually what he did. Acha cannot turn around and prove him false, because perhaps Hashem reverted from that. But when it comes to restoring, I can't say I'm going to restore something which you can turn around and tell me, well, it was here all along. So in any case, he didn't mention restoring the Tal, but in reality, there are two types of du. One which is lavracha, and that is seasonal, but the other one, the standard one, which is a vital component of this world's cycle, that is needed all the time. That's not Natsar, and therefore there's no point in mentioning it in our tefillah. So we've proven our point regarding Tal. Continues the Gemara, Ela ruchos menolondom lemi atzri, where do we find that winds are constant? Omer b'shuban levi, domakro, listen to this pasuk. Ki ke'arba ruchos ha-shamayim pirasti eschem neum Hashem. I have dispersed you, like the four winds, like the four sides of the world. Mai ke'omer luhu navi, what is the pasuk, what is Hashem saying? Is Hashem telling Yisrael, look, the Badar Tinchu, I've dispersed you all throughout, all four winds, four sides of the world, four corners of the world. It's referring to something of the past. You've gone all over the place in your galus. If that would be the purpose of the pasuk, why does it say kikha arba, like the four winds? Ba'arba meboili. The word Be'arba seems more appropriate. I've sent you out throughout all four sides of the world. Be'arba. Rather, the Pasuk is imparting a great lesson. Look, I'm comparing Klal Yisrael dispersed throughout the world like the winds which are prevalent throughout the world. They carry the same importance, even more important. Just as the world cannot sustain itself, cannot survive without winds, Rashi says the winds are needed to circulate the air, keep the earth fresh. Likewise, the world cannot be in existence without Yisrael, and not just that, Yisrael who are present throughout all corners of the world. Where there's Coca-Cola, there's Chabad, there's Jews. So wherever you are, there has to be a yid, because that keeps the world going. Let's go to Rashi, 3-4 lines up. You need winds, you need fresh air throughout the world. Below Yisrael, the world without a Jew doesn't work. And this is the Pasuk's Kavana. Ki kedalad ruchos hashamayim pirasti eschem leruchos ha'olam. So, it means like this. Just like there are four ruchos in the world, I have dispersed you, kedikti shiskayim. So the world should have kiyim. Ki ke'arba ruchos hashamayim. Just like there are four ruchos, four winds, four corners, four directions, there are ruchos all over the world. I followed that formula when I was pirasti eschem, when I distributed you throughout the world to keep Torah and learn mitzvah. Keep mitzvahs and learn Torah throughout the world. That keeps the world going. If not for the Torah, the world, the way we have it, day and night, all the different physical phenomena, the world would not exist without Brisi, without the Torah, and her knife shot, without the Torah being learned throughout the world as per locations and as per time zones. Reb Chaim Volozhin Nefesh HaChaim says that one of the reasons perhaps we have time zones is because there needs to be somebody learning at all times throughout the world to keep the world going. So everybody is all over the place. Jews, all four corners of the world, all time zones, all locations, all countries, keep the mitzvahs, learn the Torah to keep the world going. In any case, pretty clear that Ruach is a vital component in the Bria. It's not Netzar, it's constant, it's not seasonal, and therefore it's not inserted into the Tefillah. Continues the Gemara. Amar b'chanina, Hilkach, having said this, we're going to conclude as follows. B'moisachama, during summertime, Amar Masheva Ruach, if he decided to say Masheva Ruach, in Machzirin Oisai, he need not go back, it's okay, because either way, Rashi says, Ruach is still around during summertime. However, Amar Moirad HaGeshem, that's an erroneous insertion. He's speaking about rain during the summertime. Machzir Noisi needs to go back because he made a toos in his tefillah. He says something inappropriate. On the other hand, B'moisak Sham, during wintertime, Lo Yama Mashiva Ruach, if he skipped Mashiva Ruach, in Machzir Noisi, you don't need to go back because mentioning wind is not critical. Lo Yomar Moirad HaGeshem, Machzir Noisi, if he skipped rain, he needs to go back. Lo Yoid, not only that. Elafilo, even let's say during summertime, he says, Amar Mavir HaRuach, Hashem removes the winds, Umafriach HaTal, blows away the dew, meaning we don't have to dew and winds during summertime today, which is obviously false. Ein Machzir Noisi, he did not go back, because as we explained, these things are not seasonal, and mentioning them, whether mentioning them or not mentioning them, or mentioning them in the wrong way is not really critical, does not affect your tefillah. Continues the Braisa, Tanav learned in the Braisa, Ba'avim, Baruches, when it comes to clouds or winds, once again, Lo Yechivu Hachamim Lahasker, there is no Chiv to mention these things, because these things are constants. V'imor Lahasker Mask, if he chooses, go ahead, he could say these things, my time, or why these things different than rain, V'shum Delo Me'atshi, because they never cease to exist, they're not seasonal, and there's no point, or I should say, there's no Chiv to go and find favor, and be Meratzah, and mentioning them during tefillah is not required. V'loi ma'atri, says the Gemara, are these things constants? V'atani Rav Yosef. Pasuk says, v'atzar sa shamayim. And we learn, what does it mean? He's going to withhold the shamayim. Mina avim, no more clouds. U'mina ruchais, roof the winds. So you see that winds and clouds are fluctuating entities. Atu ayma mina avim, mina ruchais, you maintain that Hashem will withhold clouds and winds. O'yeinoi ela mina mata, perhaps he's going to keep the mutter away, but clouds and etc. are not something which are kept away at all. Kashu Aimer, but when the pasuk continues, Veloya Matar, Va'atar Sashmaim, Veloya Matar, Matar is rain. Hare Matar Amar. Here we're already mentioning rain. If so, Homani Mekayim. If so, how do I understand the words Va'atar Sashmaim? Apparently, Mina Avim, Umina Ruchais, withholding of clouds and winds. In any case, we see clouds and winds aren't seasonal, are not something which are there all the time. Kashi Ruchais, Aruchais, you have a Kasha from Ruach to Ruach. Kashi Avim, likewise, a Kasha regarding clouds. Answers the Gemara, it depends what type of clouds and what type of winds. Avim, Avim, like Kasha, the answer regarding clouds could be answered as follows. Habacharfi, the early ones, the rain clouds, well, they're constantly there. When we have rain, we have clouds. Haba afli, as opposed to the clouds which come after the rain, the latecomers. Those are very beneficial, actually. The Gemara soon will tell us they keep the moisture in place. They're good, but they aren't constant features in the world. And then Hashem threatens to remove. But since the concept of clouds is a constant thing, some clouds are always there when it's raining, and therefore there's no chiv to be mazgir. Likewise, says the Gemara, Ruchais, Aruchais, Lekasha, we're going to answer the Kasha regarding Ruchais. Are they always there or not? Depends what type of winds. Habruch Matsuya, a common wind is always there to keep the world fresh and circulate in circulation. Habruach Shein Matsuya, regarding an uncommon wind, a strong, forceful wind, which isn't necessarily always there, but once again, since, at least in some facet, winds are constants, there's no point in mentioning them as we do by rain. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Baruch Shein Metsuya Chazu LeBeidari. We need the uncommon, forceful wind for the Beidari, for the granary where they would winnow the grains. And this is a new type of wind which is needed for success down on this world. We need it. And therefore, we should be masker to evoke Ratzin, to find favor, and generate bracha. Esha benafvasa, there's a way out. You can use nafvasa, some say it means a fan, some say it means types of sifters. In any case, there's a way to get around without the Ruach Shein HaMetzuyah, and therefore, Chacham did not institute a haskara of Ruach. On the topic of clouds and winds, it says the Gemara Tana with no Tana Brice. Ha'avim, clouds, varuches, and winds, shnius lamata, they're second best to rain. Hechidami, what does that mean? When are we speaking? Amar ulavi tema, some say Rabbi Yehuda, the basa mitra, clouds and winds after a rainstorm are very beneficial, and they complement the rain. Lemeimer, do you mean to say the mal yusuhi, it is advantageous to have a wind after a rainstorm? Boksiv, listen to this pasuk, Yitin Hashem es motar artzach, Hashem will present the rain in your land, avak va'afar, as dust and sand. V'amar ulav v'itema, some say Rabbi Yehuda, what does this mean? How could rain turn into sand? Zika de basa mitra, when you have a zika, a strong wind after rain, it kicks up the dust and gets the crop full of mud, and it's actually harmful. How can you say wind after rain is beneficial? Like Kasha, the answer is, depends what type of winds. Hada asanicha, if it's a soft wind, then it's actually beneficial. Actually, Anamid Alf says, it helps the absorption of the liquid, of the moisture, it helps the land dry up, so it's actually good. Had asarazi, but what's a forceful wind? That's no good because it kicks up the mud and ruins the crops. Had mala avak, one kicks up the dust. Had loy mala avak, the other one does not kick up any dust. Va'amar Rav Yehuda, zika. The basa mitra kimitra. As we said, zika, the wind after a rain, is very beneficial, like the rain itself. Eva. The basa mitra, the cloud after a rain, kimitra, once again, is beneficial like the rain itself. It keeps the land moist for the time being and allows it to absorb the rain. Shimshi the basa mitra, if you have a sun shining after that rain, oh, that's really great. Kitre mitri, it's double as good as the rain itself. It gets things going, it activates the moisture in the rain and gets things growing. Lemutimai, now what are we excluding? Everything is good. Rain is good, wind is good, sunshine is good. Lemutimai, what's no good? Lemuti, as opposed to gilhi, a shine, a flash of light, the lelia, which is sometimes seen at night. It's just some sort of lightning flash that's not really much, doesn't do much good. Vishimcha de benikirche, or sun protruding between the clouds. So an uneven sunshine doesn't really do much benefit after the rain. Tesis learns, Shimsha de Beni Kirche means a sun shining during the rain, like a sun shower. Rashi learns Beni Kirche means between the bald spots, like a person has some hair and some bald spots. He says it means that the sun is shining between the clouds, coming out between the clouds, so some places it's shining, some places it's cloudy. And that's what the Gemara means. That's not really too beneficial. It's not a uniform, consistent sunshine. Amarav, Mali. Tilga means shelag. Tilga shelag, right? So the shilga is good. It's very beneficial literally to the mountains. Kachamisha mitri la'ara, five times as good as rain to earth. Shenemar, we find five lishainas in the pasuk. Kilashelag yoimar hu aretz. The shelag to the aretz is like vigeshem, that's one, matar, two, vigeshem, three. Mitrois is double lashon, that's four and five, uzay. So shelag has a five-fold benefit over rain. Now, why does the Gemara refer to the snow of the mountains? Explains Rashi six lines from the bottom. Mali tilgulaturi. V'koshken lebikah, of course, certainly has the same benefit to the valleys. Rather, elaharim einam gishamim. You don't have much rain sitting on top of the mountain. It just trickles down. Elashelik, just the snow ends up sitting there for a while. Shagshamim yard lamat, the rain just trickles down. V'einar shoysim, and the mountain doesn't really have much benefit from it. V'oigd. So well, that's why the Gemara refers to the mountains as the snow as the mountain snow, because that benefits the mountains, that sits on the mountains, warms it up, moisturizes it, etc. Void, another reason why we refer to the snow as relating to mountains, void, because even if you have snowed out in the valleys, eventually dry, it melts down and flows away. Because of the higher temperature. Ukumayimhu, it simply has the same value as water. Avbaharim kari shelik. But the mountains actually benefit from snow as per snow, because it sits there for a while in its snow form. And that, says the Gemara, will have a fivefold tayelis and benefit more than the water down on land. So snow actually has a very good effect on the mountains. It moisturizes, it waters. In a way, it sounds funny, but in a way, during wintertime, it keeps the earth in a consistent temperature. It keeps it warm, so to speak, so it doesn't overfreeze. So it's very beneficial. Continues the Gemara two lines from the bottom. Vama Rava, Tilga Lituri. As we said, snow to the mountains are beneficial. Mitra Razia Li'ilami. Heavy, strong, forceful rains are good for the trees. Mitra Nicha, soft rain Le'peri. Are beneficial for the peris. Rashi says peris that's for the crops. They have much benefit from soft rain. Urpila, if just a drizzle, well, it's really good. Afilu leparzida, even to the pit. The tuse, which is sitting underneath color, this glob of mud, deep down, mahanile, it will benefit it because it trickles down. It doesn't just deflect and run away. The soft drizzle sits in one place and slowly makes its way down to the pit and activates it. My Urpila, why is it called Urpila? This drizzle. Urupili, because it activates, it wakes up the cracks, meaning the seed residing inside that crack gets affected and dressed by that water, gets activated and starts growing. One more Gemara, Vamarava, once on the concept of a pit being activated, Haitzurubim Rabbanon, you have this young Talmud Chacham who is dummy, he's compared Lipar Sida to this pit, to this seed, the tusi color underneath this glob of earth. In what way? Because it's true, it's hard to get to it, to access that seed, to get it going, it's sitting underneath that mud, but once you get it activated and growing, the kivan de novat, once it starts growing, novat, it shoots all the way up, so like the Mefarshim say, Rashi and Chumash brings, kolas, cholas, kashos, to get it going, that's hard. Everything good in the beginning is very difficult. But once it gets going, kimah de navat. Navat, it just shoots up and is ultimately successful. Okay, so what did we learn today? We had several mikores for nisach hamayim, and as a result, we had several halachas regarding the timetable of nisach hamayim. Some say you do nisach all throughout 8 days of Sukkot. Some maintain only 7 days. Some say you begin on day two, end on day seven for a total of 6 days. Some maintain you begin on day six. And day 6 and day 7, you do Nisach HaMayim. We mentioned that when it comes to Tal Ruchais and Ovim, there's no Azkara, because these things are constant in the Bria. We learned about the fact that we don't go back by Shemana Esrei unless you do mention Geshem during the summertime, or you skip Geshem during the wintertime. We learned about the parallel between the Ruchais, which are needed for the sustenance of the world, and Klal Yisrael dispersed throughout the world, to be Mekayim, be Ma'ala, be Mekadesh, the entire world. And we learned about some elements contained within Geshem and Shelek. All the best to you and much, much Hatzlacha.